Thank you, Stoney. Thank you, church. It is great to see you today. Hope everybody's had a great worship service thus far, because it has been great for me. I know that, and certainly I am thankful for our Heavenly Father who allows us this opportunity so that we can come together and worship together. I have a few announcements before we get into talking about what we've been singing about, what we've been reading about today, and that is the great subject of heaven. That's what we're going to talk about not missing heaven. But before I get into that, I do want to make mention, I got a message a little bit earlier that Miss Pat Woodard has had to call an ambulance for Brother Quincy. You know, he's been in and out of the hospital quite a bit, so if you will keep Brother Quincy, we don't have any more information on that, but if you'll keep him on your prayer list. Another announcement I have is, have you noticed how pretty this is today? Isn't that beautiful? Getting that time of year right? I want you to know, she's probably not going to be happy with me, but my friend Christina over here, our Ukrainian sister who's a part of this congregation, put that arrangement together by herself. And so y'all pat her on the back when you see her. She's very talented and going to be doing those kinds of things for us. And so we appreciate you, my friend. And then I have one other announcement. Again, a lot of great things going on in Azalea City. You know, I've been standing up here, I don't know, at the end of our services saying thank you to those who visit with us. If you're ready to place membership with us, well, this morning we had some visitors come to me and say, hey, I am ready. We are ready to be members here. And so we're really excited about this. They have been visiting with us for quite some time, and truthfully, they drive a long way to be here. And I appreciate that very much. And by the way, they drive from another state to be here. By the way, they were at Sunday school this morning. So shame on the rest of y'all. Derek and Reagan Estes. And their son, Riley. I'm going to ask Derek and Reagan to stand up. And Riley, welcome to Azalea City Church of Christ. They are phenomenal folks, and just, I am so thankful for them. And if you haven't got to know them, please get to know them. Welcome them here. And I am very excited that we don't have to call you guys visitors anymore. So that is great news. God is so good. And that is even in the bad times, right? Our God is faithful. Our God doesn't send the bad times. In fact, there's some bad times that are happening or about to happen in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. And he is letting his friends, not we call them disciples, and of course they become apostles, but remember, they were Jesus' friends. They were his family in so many ways. And he's letting them know, and maybe they don't fully understand everything and all, but they get the point that he's going to die. And their hearts trouble. So what does Jesus do when their hearts troubled? Well, I'm going to suggest to you it's the same thing we need to do when our hearts trouble. We need to think that this place is temporary. The place that we're living in today is temporary. And listen, I talked a few weeks ago about first world problems. Man, I got problems going on. You got problems going on. If I take away the first world problems, we probably still have some problems going on, right? But a lot of the things that we struggle with are maybe because things aren't working quite the way they used to, or maybe we think that something should be a little bit better here and a little bit better there. Maybe it's a vehicle. Maybe it's, you know, we're having a bad hair day. I don't know. But whatever it is, when we put it all together, we realize that from time to time we go through struggles, right? Some of those struggles are very small, minute, compared to great big problems like death, disease, growing older, things not working, legs not working, eyesight not working, right? Those are big deals. And so what I want to encourage you to do is not because of me, but it's because of Jesus Christ. When things are troubling you, think about heaven. When things are going great, think about heaven. And when things are in between, think about heaven. Because heaven needs to be on our mind all the time. Because this world, we sing it, right, is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. See, heaven is a place that's prepared for a people that's prepared. And in John 14, his disciples were not prepared for the news. But here's what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And get this. He said, "I go," basically, "I'm leaving you. I'm dying right now. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, that's great in all itself, but then he says this, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." That where I am, we know where he's going, right? In heaven, where I am at the right hand of God, there you may be also. And then he goes on to say, "And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Of course, Thomas, he asked the question, probably all of them were thinking, but Thomas just said it. "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, it's that famous I am statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." In times of good, let's think about heaven. In times of trouble, let's think about heaven. And in any time in between, let's think about heaven. Heaven is a place that Jesus has gone back to get ready. And if Jesus went to go get a place ready, he's coming back to take us home. Heaven is not really something we can grasp, though, is it? I know that the Bible gives us enough to whet our appetite. It's kind of, you know, I've used this illustration before. If your parents give you a little bit of the brownie batter on your tongue, you know, it makes you want all of it and have to wait on that final product for those brownies or those cookies or that cake or whatever it may be. Well, on a small scale, that's kind of how what God has done for us. He's just put a little bit on our tongue. He's given us a little bit of a taste in hopes that we will long for the final product. Think about that, the final product of heaven. God created earth and everything we know in existence today in 6 days. Everything that we can look out and see and not see, he created in 6 days. He's been working on heaven ever since. How special is heaven going to be? How great is heaven going to be? You see, I can't grasp how great it is, but I'm thankful that we serve a God that has promised to make it that great. The kids used to sing, and I don't know if they still do, but it's a song talking about how heaven is wonderful. And the song goes, "Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face." Heaven is a wonderful place. And then after a pause right there, you know what they say? Wanna go there. You see, heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is filled with all those things. We are going to see our Savior's face, and we ought to want to go there. And I'm guessing everybody here today does. Or else, why would we be there? Why would we be here if we didn't want to go to heaven? You see, heaven is too special to miss. And hell is certainly too hot to go to. So let's do everything we can this morning to remind us of how special heaven is, so that our appetites, our taste buds, will salivate for the final product. That today, if I haven't been focusing on heaven in the good times, the bad times, and everything in between, I will leave here today focusing on heaven all the time. I will live my life prepared in order to see Jesus' face. I will live my life prepared to help my spouse, to help my children get to heaven with me. I will live my life to influence others about knowing Jesus. Why? So they can go to heaven with me. Folks, we ought to not want anyone to go to hell. If we truly understand how bad hell is, we ought not want anyone to go there if we are loving people. We want to be with heaven, in heaven with God. We want to be with Jesus. So let's go to Revelation, please. Let's go to the book of Revelation, and let's talk about how great heaven's going to be. We're going to use Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22 in our study today. And certainly, there's such a beautiful description of Revelation. Let me tell you about Revelation for a moment. You remember it's John who is exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And the reason he is exiled to the Isle of Patmos is because he's this crazy man that teaches this crazy theory about Jesus Christ and heaven and all this stuff. And we know he's not crazy, but they thought he was. And so instead of killing him, they just sent him out in exile. And probably John is the last or one of the last apostles alive at this time. And so the Roman Empire was really causing a lot of destruction to the church. They were doing a lot of bad things to Christians, right? And so with that, I would venture to say that Christianity was at its lowest point since it began, okay? It's really struggling. And so Jesus Christ reveals himself to John. He comes there, and that's where we get it. It's a revelation. He reveals himself to John, and he has John write these words. And a lot of it is the words of Jesus, but then some of it, John gets a glimpse. And he writes it down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's some things that he says. He says, number one, you need to know heaven's going to be precious. Turn with me to Revelation 21 now, and let's read verses 10 through 21. And he carried me away in the Spirit, this is John talking about himself now, to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the 12 gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, I skipped over some of the names of those stones in that description because they were a little hard to say, but you get the point, I hope. I know I talk derogatory a lot about broccoli. Today will be no different. Some of y'all who love broccoli, I do not understand why. Because when it's cooking, it absolutely stinks. And to me, it tastes about like it stinks. Now, again, one man's opinion. But understand my point here. If I were a child and my mom were cooking broccoli, which my dad would have made me eat it, I would not go in there and say, oh, I can't wait because it smells so good to have this broccoli. But if she were cooking cookies or brownies or cake, that smell would entice me, right? What if the mama brought out some cookies that were filled with broccoli? That would be the cruelest mama on the planet. Let me say, what are you saying, Terry? Why, I'm not totally crazy. Hear me out. When John saw heaven, there was no broccoli. When John saw heaven, there was no deception. It was as pure and precious as and even more so than I guarantee you he ever imagined. It was worth the wait. It was worth knowing how much sacrifice had gone into it. And I'm not talking about from Jesus. I'm talking about from John's life. The sacrifices he had made, it is now all worth it. Why? Because the final product was just as good as it smelt. It was just as good as it tasted. And John knew that it would appeal to us if he used these types of words. And here's what he said. God is designing heaven to be precious. It's going to be filled with precious stones and other metals and elements. Heaven is going to be beyond anything we have ever seen. And not just because of the way it looks, right? Heaven's going to be precious because of the way it looks. But not just because of the way it looks. You see, heaven's also going to be filled with precious souls. Look at Revelation 21 now, verses 22 and 23. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. See, that's a wow moment for me. Because even though we know that God is there, and we know that Jesus is there, and we know the Holy Spirit is there, John saw it. John saw the moment. And he said, there's no need to have a temple because God is there. There's no need to have a temple because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. There's no need to have a temple because His Spirit is there. You see, when we go to heaven, we will be with the Trinity. Let that sink in. We will be with God. See, God is here. You know why God is here? Because you are the temple. I am the temple. We house Him right now. And that needs to be something we remember when we leave out of here and go to work tomorrow and school tomorrow. We're housing God. He is living in us. And so God is here living in all of us. And so we're worshiping God Almighty today. But we're going to have a day when He doesn't need a temple anymore. We don't need to have Him in a temple anymore. We're going to see Him face to face. And that's precious. Oh, heaven's precious. Because it's filled with precious stones. Heaven's precious because the Trinity will be there. But there are other precious souls. The apostles will be there. Peter, Paul, Noah will be there. Moses will be there. Can you imagine just sitting around listening to stories about what Noah went through when he was building the ark? Can you imagine listening to Moses and what he felt when that Red Sea parted? Can you imagine listening to Joshua talking about how God made those walls fall? Talk about a vacation Bible school. We've got the main characters there. But there are going to be other precious loved ones there, aren't there? There's going to be mamas there that we haven't seen in some time. There are going to be daddies there that we haven't seen in some time. There are going to be children that have said goodbye way too soon that we'll be able to see again. There are going to be grandparents there who are in that cloud of witnesses cheering us on. There are going to be church heroes that we'll see again that have gone home to rest. There are going to be friends there that truly are friends forever. Heaven is going to be precious because when we walk through those gates, it will be a big, happy family reunion. How can those who do not believe have that kind of hope? How can those who do not live their lives prepared to be in this prepared place get through those difficult days? We got to remember every day of our lives that heaven is designed to be precious. But that's not all. Heaven is going to be perfect. Revelation 21 now. 1 through 6. Now I, John again, saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He, that's proper, that's capital, that's the Lamb, He sat on the throne, said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." All of that in a nutshell says heaven will be perfect. Here's how we know heaven will be perfect. First of all and foremost, because God Himself will dwell with us. You see, God Himself is perfect. God Himself is holy, 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 meaning there is no imperfection whatsoever in Yahweh, God of all gods. God will be there. Yahweh will be there. And because of that, first and foremost, it will be perfect. Did you note there that John said there will be no more sea? In earlier passages in Revelation, it talks about around the throne of God is a crystal sea, which gives us hope, right? Because if a sea is crystal, that means there are no waves. It's slick. That means there's no turbulence, there's no roughness, there's no danger around the throne of God. Now, that's where we are, right, in the church. We're around the throne of God, and we can go to God anytime, but we can't get to Him because there's a great sea around Him. But around the throne of God, it's calm. Our life of trouble, our life of misery, our life of uneasiness down here on earth, up around God, there's no trouble. But when John saw the new heaven, the sea was now gone. Now we can walk up to the throne. You see, that's perfection. But he didn't stop there. He said a lot of things that this earth gives us will be taken away. Tears. A lot of tears on this earth, aren't there? A lot of things to cry over on this earth. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of things to cry over. But God's going to wipe every tear away. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. But in heaven, there will be none of those things. Heaven will be absolutely perfect. He described it as a bride adorned for her husband. Guys, I don't know why they do that for us. I don't know why. Michelle was so fixed up that day. I don't know how many bobby pins and all were in her hair. All the hairspray, all the makeup, all these professionals come in and do these things. And she's walking to me. I don't know why she did it, but I'm glad she did. But you'll recall, men, that your wife, the beauty of her on that day, and she did it for you. Why is God giving heaven to us? I don't know. I don't know why He's walking it to us. But I'm thankful He is. I'm thankful that it's described that perfect, that beautiful. You see, heaven's going to be far better than the best day you've ever had fishing. It's going to be far better than the best day you've ever had hunting or playing sports or spending time with your family or going out with your friends or whatever your best day on earth is. Maybe it's the birth of your children. Whatever the best day on earth for you and for me is will be by far our worst day in heaven. Because heaven's greater than anything we can ever imagine. Heaven's also going to be perfect because all of the worldly things that hurt us will be done away with. We've already talked about death and all those things, but there's going to be no arguing or bickering. Nobody's going to be disagreeing. We're all going to be on the same page. There's going to be no one who holds a grudge. There's going to be no one who gets gossiped about. They say sticks and stones are the only thing can hurt us. That is untrue. Words do hurt. But there's coming a day when nothing coming from our lips and our tongue will be hurtful. Nothing coming to our ears will be hurtful because heaven will be perfect. And thanks to the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, we get a chance to go there. So heaven is going to be precious. Heaven is going to be perfect, and heaven is going to be pure. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, heaven is going to be amazing because it will also be pure. All the things that were mentioned in Revelation 21, 7, 8, and 9, all those things will be done away with. There will be no impurity. It will be pure, more pure than a cold glass of water from a fresh spring. It will be more pure than the air that was in the Garden of Eden. It will be more pure than anything you could ever imagine before. Heaven will be pure. It will be perfect. It will be precious. There will be no pollutants in heaven whatsoever. There will be no more depressing news stories. There will be no more crime. We will be able to walk those golden streets without fear of anybody accusing us or attacking us. Mostly heaven will be pure because Satan won't be there. Think about that. You know, it motivates me to think about the precious souls, the precious stones. It motivates me to think about the perfectness of how it's laid out and how it's going to be and no more death and all that. But it motivates me also because Satan will not be there. Satan is here. Satan is in that unseen realm, but he is on this earth as well. He is here tempting us to try to fall away, tempting us to try to get us from following God and going to heaven. You see, he knows where his destination is. He knows where he will end up because he didn't win. But he's a bad loser. And that bad loser wants to take you and me and keep us from heaven. Keep us from God. Heaven will have no more temptations. Heaven will have no more struggles between right and wrong, fleshly and spiritual. It will be worship. It will be fellowship. It will be time with the Creator Himself. That's why when Joseph led us in this song, he did not know what would have been in my notes. It just all made sense. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Heaven is a place that we do not want to miss. It's a place of unimaginable beauty, eternal peace, and closeness to God. But heaven is a prepared place for those who are prepared to go there. Just like Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, He's preparing that place and He is the way to get in to that place. So we've got to be ready. You remember that there are so many passages in the Bible that talks about being ready. And Jesus told parables about being ready. In fact, there's parables that he told and to get these ready because the master's returning and they made excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. What will be our excuse today? There should be no excuses. There should be no reason today. We leave here without being prepared to go to heaven. I used to say this a lot when I taught school. If something happens to me today, you can cry for my wife and you can cry for my children, but do not cry for me because I'm going to be with God. We've got to be that confident. We've got to be that confident in knowing where our destination will be. So my question to you right now is this. Are you taking up your cross, Luke 9:23, every single day and being faithful in walking and keeping your eyes on the goal that is eternal life with our Savior? You remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in Philippians 3:14, we press toward the goal. Why? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's why he said the words to Timothy when he said, I am now being poured out. He said, my time of my departure is at hand. He was saying to Timothy in these words, any day now they will come and sever my head from my body, but do not cry for me because there is waiting a crown. And it's not just for me, Timothy. It's not just for me, Azalea City. It's for all of those who are prepared to go there. Let's not be distracted by the temporary things of this world anymore. Let's remain focused on Jesus Christ and our salvation. Heaven is too wonderful to miss, and hell is too terrible to go to. So what's standing in your way? Today as we close, I need to ask you this. Have you obeyed Jesus Christ? Have you been immersed in water, allowing God to contact you with the blood of Jesus, to come up out of that water, to be raised again, to walk in newness of life? And have you continued in that path? The answer to that is yes, then leave here knowing where you will be going no matter what. But if the answer to that is no, I don't think so, I have my doubts, then do not leave here today with a doubt in your mind. If you have a need, come right now. It's together. We stand and sing.